Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me.
Is Mike Cosentino. Yes, here we are.
And we have a guest today, Mark Lucky, who's a leader of the gay community in the Verde Valley. And we're going to talk about equal rights for everybody. Right, Mike?
Yeah, we want to talk about lots of things. We want to talk about gay rights and equal rights.
And what the Pope recently issued a statement, the new Pope. What did he say?
Yeah, you know, and the quote was that he doesn't have that he's not going to make judgments on the sexuality of others.
Yeah. And to make judgments on the sexuality of others.
And so when the leader of a conservative church like this makes a statement like that, I mean, this is a 180. I was talking to Mark to you before the show about how the BBC commentator was almost in tears at this comment. That he made when he was in South America. The Pope made when he was in South America.
And we were both Mike and I were raised Catholic, so yeah. We tend to put a little more emphasis on this other people. So,
well, it's the point is this is a welcoming thing. I mean, of all the churches that all of them struggle with gay clergy, gay members. And other members that want to exclude. You got other people that want to include, and so it was a huge welcoming thing. In fact, the reverberations of that statement will be felt for decades.
Good, interesting, Mark. What's happening here in the Verde Valley in terms of equal rights?
There's actually a lot going on. The town of Jerome just passed a civil unions ordinance. I think a lot of people don't know about it. It was done very stealthily. And I actually saw it on Facebook, read the article, legal notice in the newspaper. It was very interesting to see that. Sedona Gay Pride and Verde Valley Pride is working with the cities of Cottonwood and with the city of Sedona to pass civil unions ordinances as well. There's a workshop coming up with the City Council of Sedona on September 11th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so at City Hall.
That would be a great thing to show up, and everybody has the right to speak for, I think, 3 or 4 minutes.
Yes.
You don't have to be even a member, even a resident of Sedona. You have a right to come up and speak for a few minutes. If you represent an organization, you can speak for longer.
I don't think it's not always a good idea to disagree with guests. However, I'm going to argue with your word stealth. Jerome would say, you know, we put it on an agenda. It was as public as anything else that we do. And it just didn't get a lot of attention.
Fair enough.
Okay. That's a fair enough statement. No press whatsoever.
Yeah,
no press whatsoever.
And that's kind of cool, in a way, if it doesn't get any press.
Well, that does mean that it's becoming more common.
That's
more
right. Accepted. That's the way I was.
It might mean that. Because when Bisbee did it, it was this huge statewide controversy picked up by the national news.
That's true. And well, because it was Arizona. And, of course, there's, you know, 15,000 people in Bisbee, and there's 400 in Jerome, and maybe that has something to do with that.
So what's the situation, Mark, in the Verde Valley for gay folks, particularly, I guess, the political situation of trying to get equal rights?
I think the LGBT community in the Verde Valley and Sedona is very supported by the rest of the community. I don't have a problem walking down the street here anymore, or ever, actually, since I've been here. I've been here for 7 years now. So I've always felt that Cottonwood, Sedona, Jerome, Clarkdale, and Camp Verde have always been open and welcoming.
This is a huge change from when Mike and I were young, where
at least in Oklahoma, where I'm from, if you were gay, you were in not just in a closet, you were in a five locked closet. You had to be very, very careful. You could be just arrested for being in a gay bar, and there were raids and all kinds of things. And people were really afraid. People were afraid. They wouldn't even tell their friends. They were afraid to tell their families. There was this huge fear about being gay. And that's changed, hasn't it, over the decades?
It has changed quite considerably. There's still things to be done. There are still kids who are getting bullied for being gay, people getting picked on all the time. But it's not as common as it was, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago.
One of the things that I like that's going around that I think is once again incredibly impactful is this video on the internet. I picked it up on Facebook where the interviewer puts a microphone in someone's face and said, "When did you decide to be straight?" Kind of like we covered a little bit in the PFLAG show, the parents of gays and lesbians show that we did a month or so ago. And I was asked that question and kind of surprised, but I was satisfied with my answer, and I think. But the idea was that the responses on the video are just so, because he would ask it different ways. He would approach some obviously different types. It was kind of suburban soccer mom type and kind of a macho male types, both women and men, and ask them.
Debates have been about whether being gay is a choice, whether it comes from some deep internal.
He would ask,
preference,
and that's the way
people are kind of constructed. And I just thinking certainly in rural areas. I mean, the cost of being gay was so extraordinarily high. It's hard to believe anybody would just go out and decide to do that. I mean,
and that's exactly what he says on the video. He says, do you think being gay is a choice? He would start very often that way, and the person, and if the person said yes, then he said, "Well, when did you decide to be straight?" And every time. At least, every time the person who was being interviewed you could see the light of realization dawn on them, and they said, "Well, I guess it isn't, a choice," and that they came to it the same way that they came to their heterosexuality.
Yeah.
Well, and I think for the LGBT community, choosing to be discriminated against, choosing to be harassed, and picked on and choosing to have less rights than everyone else, I don't think it's a choice. I never thought it was a choice. I would not choose to live that way, but I've lived that way for so many years.
Why do they want to say it's a choice when it's obviously maybe not? Why do you think that they make the argument that it's a choice? Because then you don't get equal rights because you decided to do something that they don't approve of.
Well, a choice makes it a lot. I'm sorry, Mark.
No, go ahead.
That makes it much easier to disapprove.
Yeah.
If it's who you are, then that's harder to disapprove of.
Right. If it's born in, then it's harder to discriminate. And if you want to discriminate, it's easier if it's a choice. Because then, right.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mark. Tell us about the festivals. Tell us what's coming up.
Oh, wonderful things coming up. The week. Starting September 26th, Sedona Pride Festival weekend starts. We're going to start in Sedona at Red's in the Sedona Rouge Hotel with just a little meet and greet at 6:30.
Excuse me.
Sorry. On Friday evening down in Old Town Cottonwood, we're doing a bar crawl. That'll start at 5:00. It's a neon insomnia bar crawl, so we're encouraging everybody to dress in their best neon.
All right.
It's a guided pub crawl through five of the bars and restaurants down in Old Town Cottonwood. We'll start at Burning Tree Cellars. We'll move to Cooperage. We'll go to Cactus Kate's. There will be live entertainment at Cactus Kate's. Then we're off to Riot in Old Town. And then we're doing a pre-party, Neon Insomnia pre-party, at Main Stage in Cottonwood, with our special guest, Pandora DeStrange, who is a, he's not a drag queen. He considers himself a gender outlaw.
There you go.
There we go.
Gender outlaw.
Like gender outlaw.
Gender outlaw.
Pandora DeStrange sings live with a band, and then she's going to be followed by a band from Sedona called Voodoo Bang.
Okay.
Right. That does a lot of 80s covers and those types of fun things. And then on Saturday, the 28th, we start our festival at noon in the Activity Park in Old Town Cottonwood, right behind the old City Hall building. That's
where they do the farmers markets.
Where they do the farmers markets, exactly. Right. That will run from noon to 8 o'clock with lots of live entertainment from local entertainers. It's going to be hosted by Clayton McKee from Q-Talk America. We are encouraging people to go out into Old Town for their dining experiences because we have a lot of support from the restaurants, Old Town Red Rooster, Cooperage, the new restaurant,
Bocca.
Bocce. Sorry. Jeez. I do the same thing.
You're Italian. It's Bocce.
Nick's in the Tavern.
I've played Bocce there, and I'm very good. By the way, just throw that in.
It's a genetic deal, huh?
That's right.
Thai Palace and you know all the restaurants down there are very, very supportive. So we're encouraging all of our festival attendees to go out into the town.
And this is the 28th?
That's on the 28th. And then that evening, we're doing an after party at Kinsay in Cottonwood with the Men of Homo Rodeo. It's an organization that does a calendar of gay rodeo members.
Wow.
And they,
interesting.
The proceeds from that sale go back to.
So how many people come to this festival?
We are expecting about 1,200 this year.
Wow. That's a lot of people. Perspective, Democrats of the Red Rocks and Democrats of Birdie Valley are hoping to have a table there.
Absolutely.
Do a little voter registration.
Voter registration.
Mike and I will be there part of the time.
Yeah.
It looks like a great event.
It's going to be fantastic. Come on out and celebrate with us.
And next month we're planning a show. As Mark mentioned, there's a lot of excitement about what's happening in Old Town Sedona. Mike's putting together a show where it's one of our non-political shows about the transformation of Old Town, how it happened, what happened. We'll do that next month.
Yeah, there's lots going on down there.
There's a lot going on down there.
I'm down there all the time, me and the guys at the coffee shop. I'm there from morning till night sometimes. I live not too far away. I don't live in Old Town, but I do live in Cottonwood. It draws me down there quite a lot.
I've watched the place being transformed. And so you move from Sedona, having your festival in Sedona or Village of Oak Creek, to down there. It seems to make sense.
It made a big change. It made a lot of sense for us to do it.
Can I ask? We didn't rehearse this. The gay-owned and gay-friendly businesses in Old Town Cottonwood, was that part of the decision?
That was a big part of the decision.
To move it out of the VOC?
Mm-hmm. And it, more room. It's not as isolated as like the Village of Oak Creek is. There's more visibility down there for us. It's centrally located. And it being in Cottonwood brings the valley together centrally for the community.
They used to market themselves at the heart of the Verde Valley because of their location, so maybe that's...
Well, I think traditionally it was.
The heart of the Verde Valley was
Old Town. Yeah. What issues are right before you now, Mark? Is there a single problem? I know that gay marriage has been outlawed in Arizona, and I know that keeps people from having legal rights, particularly when they have kids. And if they and their partner split up, they can lose all their rights. They don't have any visitation rights.
Exactly.
And I think that I know that that's a painful situation for some people out there. What else?
Well, some of the positive changes are what's happened with the Fed, the federal government recently, and the IRS extending benefits to same-sex marriages that are legal in certain states. So, you know, if you go to New York and get married as a gay couple, you can come back to Arizona, and the federal government will recognize that for IRS purposes. It's a wonderful thing.
This is brand new, isn't it?
Just last week or so.
Yeah. And explain a little more detail what it is, Mark. The federal government recognizes, also like for insurance reasons, too, for medical insurance.
Sure, any medical benefits, any IRS benefits that come to heterosexual married couples are now being extended to legally married gay couples.
One of the strongest statements I saw years ago was, and this is before all of this acceptance started happening, and William Shatner gets married in the last episode of Boston Legal. He marries his male business partner so he can have someone help him make his medical decisions.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have been friends all their lives or for a long, long time, and yet... Because he couldn't make any medical decisions, and so it was just and other things. It was just a huge statement to have these two guys get married in the last episode.
I was in New York City during the height of the AIDS epidemic, and I knew people that their partners had literally no rights. They wouldn't be on the lease. I know one case where the parents, after their son died of AIDS, they just had everything removed from their joint apartment where these guys had lived for 7-8 years and just threw everything away.
Right.
It was hard, you know, and for a while I worked at a luxury restaurant and hotel on Fifth Avenue. And, you know, a lot of the staff were gay. And one of my friends had AIDS. And he went in and told personnel, you know, I have AIDS. And they said, oh, fine, don't worry about it. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to have these chemotherapy treatments, and, my hair is going to fall out. And they said, don't worry about it. And then they came to him and said, why don't you just stay home and we'll give you your waiter's salary? Well, your waiter's salary in a New York place is nothing.
Right.
In other words, and they finally said, well, if you'll stay behind out of sight. They wanted him to stay out of sight. I was in the dressing room one time, and he said to me, Steve, look at me. And he had all these carcinoma mm-hmm. on his body. I never will forget that. And I said, you know, just quit and go home. Because he had about 3 months to live, 4 months to live. And if you're going through the AIDS epidemic as a heterosexual in New York where you don't feel personally threatened, was still horrifying because it kills your friends and colleagues.
Exactly.
And people wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, right. True.
When I knew a sister, a nun who worked with gay folks in Atlanta, the first guy who came in, the nurses would not go into the room with him. They would go into the room, slide the tray of fruit across the floor, and leave. And she was the first person to say, I'm a Christian. I'm going to go in and talk to him. And he was deeply alienated. And, of course, he was furiously angry. But she spent a lot of time talking to him. And she said, what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I can do to help you? Because medically there was nothing. At this point, early in the thing. And he said, I'd like my pajamas from home. When she said, I can do that. She went and got his pajamas so he wasn't in a damn medical gown the last few months of his life.
Those are impactful stories, and there's lots and lots from that time period. And this might be a good time to talk about the after we do this little break here, we're going to have Mark talk about a little bit about his personal story.
We're talking with Mark Luckey, who's a leader of the gay community in the Verde Valley, and we've had him on the show before, and we hope you enjoy it. Democrats of the Red Rocks beginning up their fall breakfast speeches September 19th. Nancy Wonders. Nancy Wonders is a professor up at NAU of criminology, and criminal justice. And she's going to speak on globalizing and greening debates about crime and justice. She says it's, I hope to stimulate new thinking about crime and justice and would welcome a conversation and interaction. So she wants to talk about expanding the concepts or the way we do justice. Then the next month, on October 17th, Dora is presenting a program with two local folks about restorative justice. Again, a different concept of justice where you make amends as part of the process of being there. Do you want to do what we're going to do on Democratic Perspective? Or let's go on and
I want to talk to Mark about you got some, you know, even though we've come a long way. Both we talked about the Pope's quote. We talked about the federal government's change and all those legal changes that make things the things that were making life difficult are at least somewhat ameliorated, but not everything.
No, not at all.
Should we talk about how the equal rights movement for LGBT people gets going?
Yeah.
Sure. Should we talk about the history of it? We have some time, folks, and I think most people don't know what happened. And the first thing that comes to people's mind is the Stonewall Riots of 1969 in Greenwich Village in New York. 3 days of rioting over a police raid. That a lot of people got beaten up.
Right. And it was a gay bar that got raided, the Stonewall Inn in New York. And people were just tired of being persecuted and arrested for no reason, out of gay bars, and the people rose up like they should have. And it started the whole movement. It was a wonderful thing. And then a couple years later, they had the first, Pride Festival. It was sort of a form of protest, mm-hmm. But it showed a lot of solidarity in the community. So,
well, I think there was spatterings of gay pride movements, and then, according to our records, we had the first full blown gay pride festival in 79. So, 10 years later, they really got organized and started having these things as.
It's interesting. It starts out with this thing. I was living in New York, not right in 69, but in Greenwich Village there was a sort of a rule. And the rule was you could have a gay bar in the West Village, but you couldn't have it past a certain line. You had it past a certain line, the police would bust it up. And the other thing was that the mafia was heavily demanding money from gay bars. In other words, if they would take twice as much money as they would from other people for protection, right? And so you had all these legal restrictions. You can be here, but you can't be there, that were all off the books,
unwritten,
Mike. Yeah. But they were still there. And then Stonewall explodes, and it starts that way, and it starts making people think, right? Because I'm reading that in 1973, the American Psychiatric Association removes homosexuality from its official list of mental disorders. It starts people to thinking. It stirs their conscience, I think.
It does.
That was a big deal, too, actually.
And then tell us about Harvey Milk, who's elected in San Francisco.
Harvey Milk was the first openly gay politician in the country. He was on the Board of Commissions for San Francisco. He led people through so many struggles and inspired people to stand up for their rights and of who they are and, you know, their involvements in the community and in politics. And unfortunately, he was assassinated.
November 27th. 1978, he and the mayor of San Francisco were assassinated by a anti-gay former board of supervisor, I think, member who was furious about being replaced.
Well, there's gains and setbacks. As you go through the history, that's the story, is there's gains and then setbacks, and that was one of them.
And Mike's talking about the 75,000 people that participated on the first national march on Washington for lesbian and gay rights in Washington, and that was in October of 1979. When we look at this list, folks, and everything happened in 1980, the Democratic National Convention, all groups must be protected from discrimination based on race, color, religion, national origin, language, age, sex, or sexual orientation.
And that was the first time any political party stood up and included sexual orientation in those terms.
And that's 1980.
Very good.
And Wisconsin becomes the first state to outlaw discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. That's 1982. Don't Ask, Don't Tell in 1993. Tell us about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell was implemented by...
During the Clinton administration.
During the Clinton administration.
It was a compromise.
Absolutely. It was kind of like a protection to the LGBT community, but kind of like a protection to the rest of the community. So essentially it put everybody back in the closet.
Right.
In the military. So,
you know, there's always been gay members of the military, folks.
Absolutely.
Gay members of all our intelligence services. And Don't Ask, Don't Tell meant if you didn't tell us you were gay, then we don't care.
Well,
but if you tell us, you can't stay in the Army.
It allowed the military to maintain their ban on gay members. They allowed them to maintain their ban on gay members and still allowed gay members to remain in the military by Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That way they didn't have to remove the regulation that said you couldn't be gay, which they have now.
That was repealed just recently, right?
It was.
During the Obama administration. They decided that was kind of a step. You know, it protected people in one way, but it made them hide their sexuality in another.
Correct.
You know? And so it was a step forward. And I think in history, we have these step forwards. There are also kind of step backs. We have a compromise that yields another compromise and things get better.
That's a big discussion, but certainly in a representative republic as we have here, in a participatory, functioning mostly sometimes democracy. Yeah, that's the way it goes. I don't want to say fortunately or unfortunately. Maybe it's a good thing to take these baby steps. Or these smaller steps, and if the situation is right, then the idea will prevail, and that's, I think, what's happening with equal rights, for all, including gay LGBT.
In 1996, Colorado's Amendment 2, which denies gays and lesbians protection against discrimination, was declared unconstitutional.
Yeah, that's
just fairly recently. Yeah. And then in 2000 is the first state in the country to legalize civil unions was Vermont.
What do we got now? 14? 13? 14 states that recognize gay marriage of some kind and different levels and whatnot. But yeah, I think what Steve's trying to say is that when they started making these legal gains, as they did in Colorado, that's when things really started to snowball.
Well, there's all these anti-gay marriage proposals. They pass a whole bunch of state houses. The Republicans, from the point of view of us sort of Democrats, the Republicans run on anti-gay, pro-gun stuff over and over and
gays,
over
guns
again.
And, God.
And anti-gay stuff, they would put in these amendments that they knew didn't have hardly any effect, just in order to pull out a base of very, very conservative voters. And just let me ask you, this is, I guess, getting a little bit different tack. And I ask both of you, do you think the opposition to gay marriage has come from traditionalists, like, you know, my mother and father got married and so forth? And does it come from traditionalists, or is there something else kind of ideological or personal going on in not wanting gay marriage? Is it just because it's an expansion of the idea of marriage, or is it an animosity toward gay folks that's sort of hiding in there?
I think it's a little mix of all of that, really. You know, back in the 60s and, you know, blacks couldn't marry whites still. You know, there was a whole civil rights movement.
Sure.
If you guys remember that.
I do.
We were there.
I was there.
But, you know, so things have continued to change. And there will always be opposition to every advancement, whether it's good or bad, that advancement. And, you know, for the same sex marriage, gay marriage, however you want to call it, marriage equality, I think we're standing on the edge of something really, really good right now. And I think more and more people are becoming more and more accepting of the idea that marriage is marriage. It's not just for procreation of children. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. It's not just for having children. It's a way of life, and it's a right, you know, in the pursuit of happiness.
Okay. Well, you put your finger on it. It's children. Since you asked both of us, you didn't ask about the resistance to gay marriage, and so it's the and I believe that the resistance was born at marriage. The next thought you have are children, and people believe that children are at risk in a gay marriage situation. But as things like Modern Family, as they work out the children issues, as they find same-sex couples being normal parents, stellar parents in a lot of cases, then those barriers also fall down. So I think that as far as resistance to gay marriage, children was paramount in the thoughts of those people that were fighting it. But I think as each year goes by, just like we've seen in the whole equal rights, gay rights movement, those things will come down also.
Why civil unions is a step forward, but why isn't that the same? Why doesn't that solve the problem and that you need equal rights for marriage?
Because it's not an equal thing.
In other words, you get civil unions, we get marriages. Is that?
Yes, but you know, marriage is a civil union anyway. It's a state legal document that you sign. Marriage is not necessarily in a church or in a religion. It's a state right for you.
There's civil marriage, folks, and one reason we have the separation of church and state because the churches can sort of do a wide variety of have a wide variety of attitudes and stuff, and no one is forcing some conservative church to marry gay couples if they don't want to do it. But civil society, justice in civil society, equality in a civil society that we all belong to, regardless of our sexual orientation, regardless of our religion, that's a different issue. And that's where there absolutely has to be equality. The rest can be a dialogue. You know, you can talk to conservative religious folks about what you're doing and why. And I think if they talk to someone like Mark, I think their fantasies of crazy gay people, or I don't even know what they have, but whatever, I think they would fade just by dialogue. And you see the kind of compassion coming from the new Pope. I think that's possible in some, but civil unions having the same rights. Equal rights. You know, the other charge always against the gay rights movement is you want special rights. So what special rights do you want?
I don't want anything special. And I don't think any of the gay community wants anything special than what we've already been offered in our Constitution.
Can we talk about Russia for a moment? Talk about setbacks here, at least worldwide, that the just short of making homosexuality illegal. Is that right?
The new gay propaganda law in Russia, if you even discuss anything about homosexuality, right, you can be arrested and put in jail for 13 days. If you know somebody that, you can be guilty by association as well. So if you know somebody that's gay and you're not telling anybody that you know that they're gay, you can be arrested. The Olympics are coming up in Russia, and this whole gay issue and the gay propaganda laws just seems to be passing over everybody's head.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what the, you know, obviously I don't live in Russia, but I mean, I don't know what the genesis of this is.
Well, it's, it comes with like having a civic religion. Romans didn't care what you actually believed. They wanted you to no-toe to a civic religion. They believed that that brought order. So Putin sees, you know, the affirmation of traditional heterosexual definitions of marriage and correct sexual conduct as a way of unifying Russia. I don't think they have any intention of actually initiating an enforcement of this thing. They just want to make a statement. And so they're using... they're using one group of people in order to unify a country. I mean, what's new? It's anti-black stuff that we've spent our whole lives on, right. Anti-immigrant stuff. And there's always been, I'd say, reactionaries rallying around those things. And so now they're rallying around anti-gay stuff.
I see.
And Putin is a reactionary in that sense. He's using this, I think. He's using the anti-gay thing as a playing card.
I see.
Well, and unfortunately in Russia, people are hearing those things, and there are groups that are luring gay men into situations where they're getting beaten up, and they're videotaping it, and they're putting it out on the internet. So it's also spreading that violence and that vitriol.
Now, when Putin was elected in Russia, most people don't know, the party that came in second was basically a fascist party. Mm-hmm. Communist, I think, came in third. Maybe the communists came in second, but the fascists basically came in third. Nice liberals that we would support, you know, for open rights and everything else came in fourth.
Right.
So there is a strong, deeply reactionary, sort of frighteningly far-right movement in Russia.
Well, it was outlawed during the imperial era before the Soviet era, and it was outlawed during the Soviet era. Homosexuality was so. It's maybe the Russia's just carrying on a tradition in their government of outlawing certain homosexual behavior.
Yeah, I think Putin's trying to you know,
but
he's attacked liberal sexuality in general. It's a way of unifying people at somebody else's expense.
We want to talk about our take another little break here and talk about our sponsoring organizations, Democrats of the Verde Valley. Help us out here on Democratic Perspective. Democrats of the Red Rocks are big supporters, and they have their movie at the Sedona Library. Talk about inclusion here, A Place at the Table. And Steve is going to tell us when it is, because I don't have the paper in front of me.
Steve doesn't have the paper in front of him either.
Right.
So
right.
Thank you, Mike.
Please go to our website.
It's usually the Wednesday before the door breakfast. The door breakfast is the 19th.
I see.
But I don't know when the movie. The person who arranged the movie's got two great movies coming up.
One on
A Place at the Table, and the one in October, sounds really interesting, is about mandatory sentencing and the impacts of mandatory sentencing. So there's this movement, I think it's in the 80s and 90s, let's have mandatory sentences, let's take the right of judges to decide things away. And now we've had a chance to look at the implications and the unfairness and injustice that this kind of heavy-handed sense of justice delivers.
Both movies are very informative, very eye-opening. Mm-hmm. The Place at the Table is about hunger in America. What, one in five children go to bed hungry in this country, which is like insane, but it's happening. And so that's these movies are free. They are generally well attended, and if you're looking for some stimulating conversation here in Sedona, very often after the movies, there is a discussion, talk that's led after the movie.
And next month we'll be talking to Sasha Abramowski in his new book, The American Way of Poverty: How the Other Half Still Lives. And we'll be having an interview with Sasha about poverty in America.
All right, we have, you know, I want to talk a little bit before we do run out of time. I want to go over the festival information again. I will be there on the 26th and the 28th, definitely in Old Town Cottonwood. We were there last year, and it was quite a party. It is going to be a little, it sounds a little more flamboyant, just to give a little, you know, full disclosure here. Give us the dates and the times again. Do you remember?
The dates for the the festival are Saturday, September 28th from noon to 8. There's an after party at Kinsay in Cottonwood following the festival from 9 to 1 in the morning. On the 27th, we're doing the bar crawl starting at 5 o'clock at Burning Tree, heading through Cooperage and Cactus Cates and Riot and then to Main Stage for the pre-party. Big meet and greet on Thursday the 26th at Red's and Stone Rouge.
So the festival's gotten more and more complicated.
Yeah, it has.
Well, you're spanning it from Sedona to Cottonwood, and that's kind of fun.
Yep, and we're including the entire valley. So
right,
and then on Sunday we have the Grand Canyon Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who's a nonprofit organization, who they're fabulous. They're doing Unholy Bingo. With raffle prizes for winning your bingo. That'll be at Riot in Old Town at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
I've been trying
to avoid bingo.
So instead
of going to church, you can come play bingo.
Well, yeah, I'm there. I'm a gambler from the,
And I've been trying to avoid bingo my whole life, so I won't be there. What else, Mark? What else? I would say from my point of view, looking at it, it's gay rights movement starts off sort of slowly. Equal rights movement starts, and now it's kind of cascading. Public opinion is changing radically,
from
being anti-gay marriage to being pro-gay marriage, or just not caring one way or the other. You know, what do you think is causing this collapse of the opposition?
I think the more people that know gays and lesbians, bisexual, transgender people. Everybody knows at least one, and they get to know that person and realize that they're not treated equally in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the church or anything else. And people are people. We all have our good attributes, and
we do want to include, you know, bisexual and transgender people in the anti-discrimination.
Real quickly, let's talk about the name change thing. We're talking to Mark Luckey this morning, and one of the differences between heterosexual marriage and gay marriage, as they very often the civil union, is the name change, where if somebody's going to get married in a gay marriage, the name change becomes where they don't have full rights, then you have to go through this name change process. Or if you get married in one state and go to another state that doesn't recognize gay marriage, then you have to go through an expense and a name change process.
Do you really? I mean, if you get married in a state that recognizes gay marriage and you move to another state, you go back to your old name?
No. If you were to get married in New York and you have a marriage license, there's a place on that marriage license that says, would you like to change your name, yes or no? In the state of Arizona, because we don't have legal gay marriage, I'm going through a process right now of changing my name from Eplin Hill to Luckey. It cost me $204. I have to stand in front of the Superior Court judge this Wednesday and give him a reason why I want to change my name.
Interesting.
So, you know, $75 marriage license with a check mark, and then everything else is taken care of for a name change, versus $204 and standing in front of a judge.
And you had some stats on economic activity around the
whole gay marriage issue. Yeah. Financially, for the state of Arizona, it's estimated that the state is losing $200 million a year because of the not allowing same-sex marriages, their, you know, wedding revenue. And I know a lot of people that would love to come to Sedona and get married.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, for being with us on Democratic Perspective. Next week, Felicia Rodellini is running for Attorney General. We'll be doing an interview with her.
She going to be in the studio or on the phone?
She's going to be on the phone.
All right.
And the week after, Wine Changes the Verde Valley. We're doing nonpartisan shows. We're doing a whole series of nonpartisan shows on school override, on Old Town Sedona, on the wine industry coming and changing things.
I'm there for all of them. The wine show is going to be especially close to my heart, my palate, and hopefully, you know, my my wine closet.
All our shows are available on podcast on VVID.org. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.